Hey, this is Cash Flow, and you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits, and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. What's up?
Not much, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Did you watch any of the pay-per-view, Payback?
I did not, man. I'll be honest. I kind of stick to the big four, you know, almost the little ones. I don't always watch as much unless there's a great match on it or something.
Yeah. I just heard about the girls' cage match being, the match of the night. And, so I did watch that one match and that was it. It really was good. Trish, they, you know, they, I know you've seen the pictures of her.
Yeah,
man. Dude, I know exactly where it happened. And she went old school, man. She was taking like a repetitive one, two into the side of the cage. And she was not blocking. She was ramming her head. I think she was trying to hardway herself. I really do.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, she was hitting that cage hard, man. That's where that came from.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good match, and she did a really cool spot too. She was sitting up on top of the cage. Nobody's ever done that I've seen. She got her legs intertwined in the what do you call that? The truss at the top, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But she didn't do it like real obvious. So then she took a bump backwards and was like hanging upside down from the top of the cage, about to fall to the floor, which looked pretty cool. But yeah, man, it was a good match, man. You might want to check it out.
So I will definitely do that.
They said it was her first cage match ever in her career.
That's nuts, man. I mean, she's been around, you know.
I'm pretty sure she didn't. I don't know. Was she an indie person or something? I don't recall.
Canadian, you know, she was a Canadian fitness model, and then they picked her up in WWE in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, but those girls weren't given the opportunities like they are today back then. You know, it was like bra and panties and stuff and, you know, mud matches and stuff. It's such a different world for women's wrestling now. I like that you talk about it a lot, man, because it tells me that you know, women's wrestling has finally arrived, you know? So
women's wrestling is so much better than it used to be, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there was your pioneers, but man, it's just, they've stepped it up, you know, and some of them are really good, man. I always think, and this is just kind of observation of mine, most girls stomp funny. It's like, can you not stomp like a dude?
Maybe it's their center of gravity is different than ours. You know, that I don't know, man. That's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah.
But we got Cash Flow on the show today. We're still rhyming, y'all. We had Flash and Trash and Slash, and now we got Cash Flow.
And we'll I don't even want to tell you what our idea for next week is.
So. Yeah, I know. And we're going to talk about the new show that's dropping on Wednesday, the 13th. Is that correct, Jimmy?
Yeah. Wednesday, man. The 13th.
Wrestlers on Netflix. And it is a documentary style show based on OVW. So we're going to ask him a little bit about that. I'm anxious to see it. Of course, I'm going to watch stuff like that. Just check it out. And we talked with, you know, Trash and Flash, whether some of us will be featured on there, you know, just a little or anything, you know. But
we'll
see, man.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I'm appreciative to Al for giving us the opportunity to interview one of his guys, and I'm excited that it's Cash Flow because, man, I've known that guy from back in the day, and happy to see he's still working, you know. It's awesome to see that, so very cool. 10 years ago, I think it was, I met him, and, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, anybody that's in the business still after 10 years when he'd already been in for several years before that, you know, it's cool, man. I like, I'm always appreciative of the guys that can do it for so long, you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure, brother. I'm sure. But, you know, this, I'm excited about this documentary, man. I really am.
Yeah,
so.
Man, me too. Me too. I'm looking forward to it. And I love, like, Netflix is one thing about them that I really like is they, when they put a new show out, they give you all the episodes, man.
Exactly.
So like, I can't step Prime and Paramount and
all Disney that. Plus and yeah. Like,
I can't remember what I watched last week.
I know. Give it to me all and I'm gonna binge it. And right. Yeah, and I because that's how I watch it. And yep. Sometimes, like on The Mandalorian or stuff, and so I'm not as good about The Mandalorian, but some of those shows, I'll actually just wait till they're all out.
Yeah.
And yes. Then I'll just tear them down and stuff. And at that point, but, you know, The Mandalorian, I'm not good about waiting.
Disney makes me so mad that they own so much of my childhood, and then they act like they act. I'll just be straight with you. I lost ESPN on my cable.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, what do you got? Spectrum or something? Is that what you have?
They're greedy,
yeah.
Man. Greedy.
Yeah, they, you know, but it's all those companies, dude. We're all the time losing a channel on TV, and it's just different licensing agreements and stuff.
Yeah. Stream their shit.
It's like which billionaire gets up on the other billionaire, you know? Yeah. So, but
all right, enough politics. Let's take a break and let's come back and let's talk to Cash Flow.
Be right back. After these messages.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back and we've got Cash Flow. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is a straight up shoot right here that I don't remember Cash Flow. When was the last time that I actually spoke to you or saw you? Do you remember?
Honestly, Wolfie, I really don't remember. We might have crossed paths early 2000s on one of them little indie shows out and about somewhere, dude. It's been a long time, Wolfie.
Yeah, I know, man. It's good to have you on here. When I contacted Al, me and Jimmy kind of to ourselves were like, you know, because I said, hey, you want to send somebody on to talk about the Netflix show and blah, blah, blah. But me and Jimmy already had in our heads, we were like, I hope he gives us Cash Flow. And he did.
Al's a little bit giving in his older age. He'll be the first to tell you.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. But it's we were cool, just man. Both like good to talk crossing to you. Fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Good to talk to you and everything. So tell me, I don't keep up with a lot of current stuff. I see what I see on Facebook and social media stuff. And then if I see something that I think I need to watch, I'll go watch it. But this is definitely going to be one of those things that I want to watch. But I didn't know that it was even going on. You know, I don't. So tell us about and tell the listeners how long they've been doing it. Did they just follow you guys around for a while? And was it kayfabed on purpose, or did everybody know?
It was faved on purpose, but it's been a while. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know anything about like production and like Hollywood and that kind of thing, but like we did this thing. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
you know, it was a couple summers ago, and you know, it was just one of them things that was thrown on the boys. You know, at OVW, and you know, I jumped at it. You know, so you know when you're in wrestling, Wolfie, you know that you know exposure is a big thing, trying to get your stuff out there. And you know, I was like, I was like, bring it on. You know, they want me. I'll give them me.
Yeah.
Damn
yeah.
Short.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we had Al on a couple years ago, and he actually brought it up off air, but Wolfie probably just doesn't remember.
Oh, I just, yeah, probably.
He didn't make sure, we were not recording at the time.
We could talk, you know, touch on it a little bit. You know, honestly, I don't remember a whole lot. I know they filmed a lot of stuff and how they're going to put that out there. The only thing I can say is, it's pretty real, and the people on there are pretty real, and you know, you're just going to have to watch it, man, is all I'm saying.
So let me ask you this. Okay. So on the trailer, I've seen the trailer. I saw you're giving like a speech. So what is your role in OVW now?
Guys look up to me because of my tenure. They look to me because of how long I've been around. They look to me for guidance on, you know, how you're really supposed to act in a locker room and how you're supposed to treat each other. And, you know, when you're in a locker room full of guys, it's much different when you're in a locker room full of guys that all have the same goal.
Yeah.
Okay. And my job is to help keep these guys kind of focused when they're in that locker room on the same goal, which is making OVW the best that it can possibly be, which will in turn, and it's keeping them understanding that in turn, OVW will be good to them. It will give them other opportunities and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm like a senior statesman. You know, I got a lot of respect in there, or at least I think I do to my face.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know how wrestling is. You know, they could smile at you and then want to put your foot off in your ass when you turn around. But, you know,
and on the surface, coach, you know, that's right. Coach and trainer as well?
Yes, I am a teacher. I do teach the beginning class for the OVW Academy with Al Snow. You know, I was grateful for Al to approach me, you know, 3 years ago and said, hey, I have this opportunity for you. Would you be interested? You know, I jumped on it because, you know, that's kind of what once your in-ring career is at a certain level, you know, you start to feel like it's time to give back a little bit. And, you know, I was at that point and I'm like, hell yes, I'll be glad to try and, you know, help bring the new crop of guys along. So.
That's cool, man.
I did the training thing a few different times, and I actually enjoyed doing it. It made me better. It was like keeping up with stuff, you know, just like football practice or something. You know what I'm saying? So it like made me better.
It gives you ring time. It keeps you focused. You know, it keeps you current with, you know, some of these younger guys. I mean, you know how sometimes you get lost in translation and guys can kind of overlook you, but you know, all the guys come in, you know, I'm the first person that they step in the ring with. So, you know, it keeps me focused and keeps me going, dude. I really enjoy it. I love it. I do.
That's good.
So what did you get out of the business for a little while or anything? Because I feel like I remember, you know, like you said, around the 2000s or something like that. And then all of a sudden I don't remember like seeing you anywhere. And then now you're back up here. Did you take some time off or?
You know, Wolfie, I really didn't take any time off. But once I left where I broke in the business, you know, I left on shitty terms. And I kind of got left to my own devices. So I took a couple bookings here and there. I found a guy that would book me, you know, a couple times a month. And it really was just that for a little while. But then I was like, dude, I got to do something. If I want to, either I want to continue to do this or I want to, you know, I want to be done. And I decided to continue to do this. So I started putting in a little more work. And, you know, that led me back to OVW. So.
That's cool.
I wonder, in watching the trailer, you tell me what you feel about this. We're talking about the Netflix thing again. Like I saw on the trailer, I saw Trailer Park Trash on the movie trailer. So I'm like, I wonder how far back they're going to go. Is old Slash going to get a cameo? You know, or is it going to be a lot of current stuff? You know,
I bet it is a lot of current stuff. But, you know, one thing about is the history of OVW. Slash is a big part of that history. I mean, let's be honest. And if they're talking histrionic, dude, they'll have you on there. Look, I don't know. Like I said, I ain't doing shit.
And I don't care.
They ain't let me see shit.
Yeah, I don't care either way. I'm just wondering
you care a little.
they're going to go. Do what?
You care a little. You like to see yourself.
Hey, I care just a little Wolfie, bit.
Jimmy, Wolfie's marking out is what he's doing.
He's trying out. To. He's trying.
I went on there.
Hey, he's trying not to. I'll be the first to tell you I've always been a mark for myself. That's how I got better. I did not watch. You know, you hear people say, oh, I'm sitting under the learning tree watching videos. Fuck that. I want to see what my shit looked like. So that's how when I was first starting out, I'd watch myself and I'd be honest with myself. That looked like shit. Don't do that no more or fix that. You know what I'm saying? So
you are absolutely fucking correct, though. That's the way it has to be. And that's what, you know, that's what you tell these young guys coming up. Watch your stuff. Critique your stuff. You know, don't necessarily, you know, pat yourself on the back a whole lot. Be critical of yourself because that makes you better. That makes you a whole lot better.
Yes, absolutely. Jimmy, I'm going to make the hot tag to you. Jump in.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, like we said, we did want you on the show with this. When we saw the, you know, we were like, okay, our next episode is going to be on September 11th. 2 days later, the show drops. It would be great if we could get somebody. So we were happy that it's you. So just to kind of go off to the show a little more. Now, if I'm to understand, you haven't seen it, correct?
That's absolutely correct. I don't even remember half the stuff they recorded, Jimmy.
Okay, so this will be because they sent us the whole season ahead of time because we're prepped. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
They did send the press that.
Yeah. That well, we're just a little old podcast here, but so when it. Because they've done other things like Last Chance U. I'm a big fan of that show. I haven't seen the show Cheer, but I've seen Cheers back in the day, but not Cheer. But I've seen Last Chance U, and that's a really good show.
Yeah.
The part that I like about that show is they go deeper with like the family stuff. So I did see that it looks like there's some interaction with your family. Were they getting a kick out of that?
Yeah, my son and my daughter, they both loved it. You know, You know, but see, my son and my daughter have always been around wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, I have pictures when they were babies, you know, rolling on top of me in a wrestling ring. My kids have always been around wrestling. So no matter how big the crowds are or, you know, it feels kind of like home to them. You know what I mean? They get a little anxious and have a little bit of anxiety when they're around a huge crowd of people. But, you know, they just know me as dad, and anything that I do in the ring or, you know, when people come up to me in stores or, you know, and it's nothing new to them. They're just like, that's my dad. My son just as soon flip me off and give me the finger than anything. So,
yeah. Well, hey, yeah. You're raising them right. I love it. Yeah,
absolutely.
But it looks like it goes really in depth to what would consider like the daily life of a wrestler. Do you feel like now my wife watches all these like housewife shows and all these like Beverly Hills Gaga bullshit. And is there some element of Hollywood in it as far as like how they do stuff? You know, we've heard how people act and they say there's multiple takes because of multiple edits and scenes. And do you find that it was a lot of Hollywood in it? Or did you feel like it was basically, hey, look, I'm living my life and here's a camera in front of me, which I have no problem with? What would you say?
I would say there probably wasn't enough Hollywood in it. When they came to me, you know, and all I can do is speak on my experiences. When they came to me, you know, all they would say is, hey, Cash, be yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, like I said, I don't know about anybody else. I wasn't around for anybody else's. All I know is when they showed up, you know, or wherever I was, because, you know, if I remember correctly, which I don't know, if I remember correctly, it wasn't just, you know, stuff at my house. They were at other places with me. Hell, I think they caught my asshole a few times. So it was just they would show up and say, hey, we're going to follow you, do what you do. And that was that. You know, there was no discussion on, you know, hey, can you move this way? Can you talk about it? Nah, there really wasn't any of that. I didn't have any of that, so.
And I mean, just to kind of go off of that, I imagine how big or small of a crew were they as far as following you around? I'm all into the other side of things, you know.
So. it was a big crew. Yeah. You know, two or three vans worth, you know, it was a big crew. They would take up a lot of space, you know, which sometimes didn't fit too well during dinner time.
Oh man, I'm sure. But, yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, they took up a lot of space, but you know what?
They go to the gym end, with and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. In the end, the it's gym, all going to be worth. Well, you know, I'm going to hit at the gym because I also do some customers. I used to do some customer service stuff there, you know, because I've known the lady there for a long time. So, you know, she was pretty cool with it. So
I'm sure. Yeah.
I was just thinking like, you know, there was a Planet Fitness or something.
Oh, hell no. I wouldn't be caught dead in Planet Fitness. They'd be ringing that alarm on me 24/7. I would never get a workout here.
I don't do that kind of stuff anymore.
I'm a gym rat. I have to go to the gym. Shit.
Yeah. So I go to the gym when I just had hernia surgery. So I've been out for about 2 months, but can't wait to get back in there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So let's go. He said, yeah, right. No, it's good for my mental health as well. I promise.
But I do agree with.
Let's go back to man. What? Who is your mentor in this business?
Initially,
yeah. Like I guess who trained you? But then, is there somebody like after that? You know, a few people after that. And I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about early on. Like, who's your peeps?
You know where I broke into professional wrestling at. Would I say that dude was a mentor? Do what?
I said I think I do.
Yeah. Well. To say that dude was a mentor would be using that term a little loosely. Yeah. I don't necessarily consider that a mentor. He let me break in the business there, but I did the work. Okay. Right. Now, as far as mentors, you know, guys like Frank, guys like Bull Payne, Tracy Smothers, of course, Tracy was a mentor to a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I looked up to him a whole lot and he helped me a whole lot. Yeah. You know, when I was young, my first 5 years in the business, you know, after that, it was just kind of, you know, who I could talk to, you know, who I could get around and be the young boy and pull up that chair and sit and listen to, you know, Wolfie. And at some point you were one of those guys too, Wolfie.
Absolutely. 100%.
You know, you were always, to me, of the two of you guys, you were always the one that was down to earth and you were more than willing to talk to the young guy, unless of course you just stuck a fist in Ox Harley's face, and then you were a little harder to talk to sometimes. But
oh my god!
I'm just saying.
Were you there that night?
Hell yeah, I was there.
Okay.
Hell yeah, I was there.
How was that, man?
And you know what? They put me in the ring with you after the fact.
Like a couple shows later,
I swear.
I thought you meant that night. I was like,
not that night. Hell, I don't know. I don't know what was going on that night. You were a little heated that night, so I don't know. I tried to stay away.
He had an attitude from the get-go. That was the first time we'd ever met, and I'll say right now, me and him are cool, and we talk and you know, laugh sometimes, but he had an attitude towards me, man, and we were working for WWFE, whatever, at the time, and there really was a policy, you know, contracted guys could not bleed, and if you did indie shows, you could not bleed, so I'm telling him, okay, you know, chairs, stop signs, all the blunt objects, that's cool, but none of these tack bats and baseball nails and none of that shit that these people bring, I don't know what's on that, you know?
Which they love to bring, by the way.
I know.
But then your partner
it's all over the place.
But then people are demented, man, some of the shit they would bring.
But then your partner started it all.
Jamie brings the bat into the play. He brings it into play. Well, I end up getting hit with it, and fucking, I didn't like that. Yeah,
push comes to shove. Shit happens. It was very interesting. And that arena was full that night.
Yeah,
like, there were a lot of people in there.
Packed.
Yeah.
You know, that time they were serving beer and it was crazy. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild back then. Yeah, I couldn't remember who I thought that was
where you came from. And yeah, that dude is something else. But anyway, Jimmy, jump on in and ask that.
So, yeah, you end up actually, now you work, Wolfie. I know for a fact the date on this is November 13th, 1998. You worked Wolfie D. Now, how long were you in the biz at that point, Cash?
I had been in the business a little over a year. I started training late 96. Yeah. I had my first match against the Dirty White Boy, Tom Burton, in July of 1997.
Now, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. Thank you, sir. You're really good at this. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Talk about Tom Burton, man. That's exactly what I wanted you to bring up. Tom Burton. I've heard many stories about Tom, but I would love to hear what your thoughts are. The very first match you wrestled Dirty White Boy Tom Burton.
I had no clue what to think. You know, they come to a young guy, and of course back then it was all about, hey, let's rib the young guy. Let's put this guy over like this young guy is gonna get killed. So here I am. They got this guy. They say, hey, let me introduce you to this shooter. His name's Tom Burton. I'm like, at that time I'm like, what the fuck is a shooter? I don't know what a shooter is. You know what I mean? I'm like, has he got a gun? Is he gonna catch me? What's gonna happen? You know, I had no clue. And then they explain it to me and I'm like, okay, he's gonna be a little stiff. I'm gonna have to show my nuts and I'm just gonna have to fucking sell and whatever. Yeah. Man, he beat the shit out of me and he stretched me and stretched me and stretched me. And initially they told me here's how bad it was. Initially, they told me what a finish was, and I couldn't even get to that finish because he put me in a single leg Boston crab. I thought he was going to rip my leg off. So I just fucking tapped out. I couldn't do nothing.
You tapped out?
I said, fuck it, I'm done. I can't do nothing. Yeah, I couldn't fucking do nothing. No, that wasn't the finish. I didn't know what the fuck to do. So I was like, there we go.
That's funny, but man, you know what? Yeah. I've talked about this with we talked about it with Tony Anthony, as a matter of fact. But Tom was a dick, man. Me and Tom were cool, but he was a fucking dick, man, for real. He used to try to do. He had one of his trainees punch me like a shoot punch, and that was the finish. Like he had a chain, and I know he told him to shoot punch me, so there was nothing I could really do. You know what I'm saying? That was the finish.
Yeah,
but he was a dick.
I never even talked to him, dude. I was at the point where when I walked up to him, all right, kid, here's what we're going to do.
We're
going to do this. And, my Tom Burton voice?
That's perfect. That's perfect.
But that's all, dude. I had like two sentences. Just listen to me, kid. Just listen to me.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
I sure hope you've seen the pictures of him when he came back from Japan after taking his ass whooping over there in the early 90s. I don't know if you remember about that.
I do remember, but I don't remember seeing any pictures. Were they good?
Yeah, they were good. He got his ass in
it. It's the fucking internet. I'm going to have to look that shit up. Just
it's out there. It's been a long time since I've seen them. Like, the pictures I saw were actual pictures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hard copy.
Yeah. Man, I've looked at your list of matches, and I mean, you know, let's just go down, you know, your Madman Pondo, Bull Payne, Flash Flanagan, and I stop right there. How was it working Flash? We're big fans of Flash on the show, and we've had him on several times.
You got another one. I'm a huge fan of Flash. I have been for years, and I've actually had the opportunity, you know, a little later in my wrestling career to hook up with Flash and get to work with Flash. So I'm still a huge fan of Flash. You know, I think he was criminally underrated.
Yeah.
He could have been one of those, I think. In my opinion, Flash Flanagan could have been one of those, man.
Yeah, we agree. We agree highly. You know, he's just so funny and how, like, he's just got he's just Flash, you know? How can you say it any different? But the stories he has just about Puerto Rico alone will have you rolling in the floor, you know? So,
yeah.
Now, I guess, let me ask you this, because this is a good, you know, I met you and Wolfie around the same time, and it wasn't very far apart, actually. And you guys both had this demeanor about you in the locker room that you were kind of like, when I was in the locker room with you, I was never in the same locker room, but with all three of you, but or all with both of you, all three. I'm making up a new person. So what I mean by that is you guys seem like two guys that people came to talk to. How did that When did that flip for you, Cash? Like, when did you turn from the guy that went to guys starting to come to you? When did that happen?
You know what? I honestly don't know when it happened, but it was distinct for me. You know, I'd always been somebody that had been easy to approach and was always wanting to talk with everybody else. And for whatever reason, eventually it just, it flipped to if I come in, you know, and I'm doing something, guys would just, they would come and say hi. And, you know, of course I would reciprocate because I'm easy to get along with. And I have no problem if somebody needs an opinion on something or needs a little help putting something together. I've always been one of those, dude. I would be glad to help out. And I'm going to continue to do that until, you know, my body says, all right, you dumbass, you're done.
So, yeah, talking about, you know, not having a problem giving back to some of the guys. Let's go back to that match, Jimmy. You said that was me and Cashflow, and he had been in the business a year. Who won that match? Does it say?
Cashflow did.
Cashflow won that, and he had been in the business a year, and here I am putting him over. Now, tell me that anybody that ever says I've had an attitude about putting people over or anything like that can kiss my ass. There's proof.
Well, I've never heard that attitude, and I would argue with anybody that would say that, because that has never been my interactions with Wolfie D. So, they can say whatever, you know, maybe they're looking at something else. So,
yeah, I don't think I agree, because I, like I said, I compared you to, you know, because here's Wolfie D, and I'm admittedly a PG-13 mark when I first meet Wolfie D, and he's sitting over there and he looks a little different, but I know that's damn Wolfie D. And I'm like, well, shit, I'm going to try to talk to him. You know, he knows something, you know, some of these, I'm standing beside some guy who's picking his nose and doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to work my way over there to try to talk. And it's the same with you, Cash. You know, I first met you in 2013 at the Charmin Charles benefit at the NWA main event for Mike Porter. You had a crew with you, man. And, you know, but I will say this, and again, no disrespect to those guys, because I think they're managers and they were announcers and stuff like that. But you had an air about you that I just was like, man, I want to talk to that guy. Something about him. Maybe it's the calluses on his knuckles. Maybe it's the, you know, the blade marks on his forehead, whatever. But that's a guy that I want to talk to. It's like a magnetism. And again, I was a PG-13 mark. That's what made me want to talk to Wolfie. But at the same time, you know, I didn't know you from Adam, but I wanted to talk to you. You had something about you. And I think that I wonder if they could bottle that. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of the newer guys maybe, you know, aren't getting that as much if they don't have a locker room leader in the place, you know?
Yeah, I would totally agree. You know, I think that probably stems from how you come up, you know, in professional wrestling. I don't think, you know, you come up a little bit different these days as opposed to, you know, the mid-90s or when Wolfie broke in somewhere, what, early 90s, mid-80s, Wolfie, early 80s?
89.
Early 80s. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yes.
Well, I mean, it's a different time. And the guys nowadays, you know, anybody can break into wrestling nowadays.
Right.
You know, you had to know somebody that knows somebody back then, and you had to put in the work, and you'd had to fight for whatever it is that you got. And, you know, that just doesn't happen these days.
Yeah. Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope-ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady,
live only on Netflix.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheik, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at stevebowtiebryant@icloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Let me ask you this, man. The students that are coming in, you say you get the beginners. Now, Have a lot of them already had matches, like they started out in the indies and then they figured, okay, I better go get trained correctly? Or are you getting really fresh people, or both? I probably would guess.
I am getting really fresh green people. We're talking people that see it on TV and want to give it a shot.
I've not
in the 3 years I've been doing it, I've had one person that's had a little bit of experience outside of. And by a little bit of experience, they tried going to another school and it didn't work out for them.
I got it. Okay.
So they're brand new. They're green as goose shit. I mean, it is, you know, and you got to teach them from the get-go, you know. And I actually like it that way, Wolfie, because then you don't have all them bad habits that you got to break, you know.
And you can teach them.
You can get them in there, and and you can get them going in the right path, and that's where it starts. You don't have to backtrack on anything, so you know that's good.
Yeah. I know one of the first things I would do, you know, when someone would start, I'm serious. Like, I think the first thing I would teach them, not lock up, not none of that. Usually, it was run the ropes, because to me, that's like the hardest thing for so many of them to get is how to do that correctly. What about you?
What I concentrate on is intent. I think, you know, from what I see these days, I think intent is lost. And I think, you know, no matter what you can do, if you actually believe in who you are and the things you will do will translate, because I think connection is a big thing in wrestling, connecting with the fans and whatnot. And I think if guys can get down, you know, the intent behind professional wrestling, which is professional wrestling, I think the personality will come, and all that other stuff comes with experience, you know, running the ropes well, you know, giving them good habits on timing and ring positioning and stuff like that. Intent is the hardest thing to teach young folks, because, you know, if people don't believe in who you are and why you're doing shit, then they're not going to get behind you at all. So
right. You do have to teach that. My point really was more of, I could tell what type of athleticism and stuff that I'm dealing with by trying to teach somebody to run the ropes.
You're absolutely right on that.
That's how I would kind of judge, like, okay, this is going to be, this motherfucker will never make it, or okay, they'll get it. You know, that talk, it's just amazing. And how they, you know, when you start hitting them things for the first time, you're going home with some bruises and shit on your back. I don't care if you are.
Absolutely.
And so
I usually do that about 8 weeks in, brother.
Really?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually about 8 weeks in, because, you know, then they think, you know, because I'm teaching them how to bump and, you know, I'm teaching them, you know, some ground wrestling stuff, some holds, some switches and stuff like that. And then they think they finally start to get it. I was like, all right, now you're going to run the ropes. And then they come back to me the next class and they're like, oh my God, my back is hurting so bad. You know?
Oh, man.
Hit them. Hit them hard.
Throw a curveball in on them.
Yeah. You know, this leads me to a good question that, you know, Trailer Park Trash, it's so funny. We're having like we have like OVW spurts, man. We'll have like Jack Vaughn and Ryan Rocket and Doug Basham on in like three episodes. And then now we've had, you know, literally the legacy of like Trailer Park Trash. And then the last episode, we brought Trash back and brought on Flash and had on Slash. So we have Flash and Cash. So what up? Yeah, it's crazy, right? We just like to rhyme over here. But when, you know, Trash brought up the idea that under Danny Davis, it was kind of considered like the Harvard of pro wrestling, basically. You go to OVW, and I do believe it seems like Al probably is the logical next best choice for the continuation of the Harvard of professional wrestling, you know. But when it comes down to it, where do you see OVW, like, at its current state along the legacy? You know, because they had the guys that Danny brought in, and then the superheroes came along. And then you've got now the current crop, which, man, we're big fans of Ryan Rocket. We're big fans of Jack Vaughn. You know, big fans of you, man. And, you know, when it comes down to it, we like to see the – we would love to know kind of what the pulse is on the current crop, in your opinion.
And as far as where they're at in the legacy, it's definitely not a school show like it was probably the last 10 years with Danny.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a school show. I think in this current crop, you know, the personalities are at the tip top.
Okay.
You know, it's more personality based and storytelling based.
Okay.
You know, you have a bunch of different characters on there, and these characters are, you know, through the roof. Now, as far as where they're at in the legacy part of it, and I just like I said on the trailer, I think OVW is at a point now where they are the little engine that could, you know, they have all this hype and this thing behind them now. And, you know, it could mean a lot.
Exactly. Okay.
OVW is now the little engine they could.
Yeah.
You know?
And now's their chance. They got a big opportunity standing right in front of them, man. Tell us, and I know you said you haven't seen it, but I know you kind of know who the main focuses are going to be. Tell the listeners who the stars of the show are and tell us a little bit about each one.
I mean, I Wolfie, I'm going to be honest. I don't know. Yeah. They followed me a little bit. How much I'm featured, I have no clue. Right. You know, if you want to look at the trailer, I'm in the trailer.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. Haley J is in the trailer. Al Snow, the owners, Matt Jones, Mayor Craig Greenberg. Yep. You know, those guys are in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want me to talk to you about some of those guys that are in it?
Well, I mean, if you want to just, you know, say where you think they're at, and I mean, can they handle the load that they're fixing to be presented with possibly, you know?
I think as a whole, I think they all can handle the load. You know, okay. I think the youngest one on there is Haley, Haley J.
Mm-hmm.
Can she handle it?
His daughter.
That's Maria's daughter.
Now,
do I think she can handle it?
I honestly
don't know. Yeah. You know, I didn't see her story. You know, I know who she is.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Only time will tell with her. You know, she's got a long way to go. Way to go.
Yeah.
We'll be interesting to keep up with. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy watching the show too. So we'll all kind of learn a little bit as we go, I reckon, because I'm interested to see it.
But keep in mind, Wolfie, I'm, and I can't stress this enough, man. It is everything that you are going to see on this show is absolutely who the guys are. And you being you know, who you are and where you've been in professional wrestling, Wolfie, you will be able to tell if somebody's Hollywooding it up.
Right.
You will be able to tell.
For sure.
So, you know, but these people on here that are featured are absolutely who they are. And I hope, which, you know, I know Greg Whiteley, the director, the guy that directed Last Chance U and Cheer. I know that guy has got an eye and he's creative as hell and he does know how to tell a story. So, you know, you can bet that it's going to be good.
Yeah. Back off of the show. I've got to ask this question because this is one of my favorite videos on YouTube, and I'll go to it randomly just to watch the crowd. The Tracy Smothers Bobby Eaton match that broke out into a riot at IWA Mid-South. Were you there that night?
Where was it at?
It was the smaller building, not the bigger building. I think
was
y'all
it in
just
Louisville or was it in Charlestown, Indiana?
I think it was in Charlestown. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I was there at all that shit.
Yeah.
Every single bit of it.
Yeah, it was crazy because honestly, I'll watch it now just to look to see what the crowd's doing. But, you know, obviously, you know, Tracy and Bobby are working. I mean, that's two of the greatest of all time right there. But right, at the same time, it was funny how Tracy could work a crowd so well and literally have them salivating to kill him, you know. and he's standing in the middle of probably what, maybe 250 people. I don't know, maybe not that many, but around that amount, maybe more.
About what that building could hold, about 250. Yeah.
And he's giving them the come on fingers, you know, like bring it on, you know, and every one of them are saying, I see a guy, he rips his shirt off, big fat guy. And I mean, real big fat guy. He like puts out a cigarette on his arm and he's just trying to be tough with Tracy. And it's just funny because Bobby would dip, you know, Bobby would dip out. He would go somewhere. I don't know where it was. Maybe he was just selling and the focus was on Tracy. But Tracy's like, God.
Shit, I think he went to the back. I think he went to the back and let Tracy do his thing.
Okay, he's like, I'm getting out of here. and a girl tries to take that big piece of wood from Tracy, and he gets all hot, and then he sees it's a girl, and he calms down. It's great. I've watched that video way too many times, but now I'm going to look absolutely for you, Cash, if you come out there. So, but
I don't come out there. If it's the one I'm thinking of, I think Mitch Page comes out, and I think Tracy ends up punching him in the mouth.
He does. And, yep. That's it.
Mark Wolf comes out, I think, and ends up, I don't know, Tracy ends up doing something. Yeah. I want to say I've seen Chris Hero come out.
He does. Yep. Yeah, well, that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question, too, because I looked at your match history. Obviously, I'm the research guy here, and I go through and I see you work, like, again, you work all those legends like Pondo, Bull Payne, Flash Flanagan, Wolfie D, Tom Burton, those guys. And then you get to, like, the new crop of guys who are kind of the indie darlings, like Colt Cabana and Chris Hero. Talk about working those guys, especially in Necro. Of course, you worked Necro in 2001, too. But how did, you know, like, and then you go on to Kevin Sullivan. So, I mean, you're really working so many types of different wrestlers during that time. I guess talk about how that was. I mean, did you understand where those guys were and what they were doing at the time, especially somebody like Colt Cabana and Chris Hero?
Absolutely. You know, because in all honesty, when you get to the back and you're talking to these guys, you know, they're on the same page as you. They just want to entertain. They have, you know, they have their own styles. And of course, you know, where I come up, you know, is more of a brawling style. But, you know, I really enjoyed, you know, raising the bar with them and trying to work their style of matches with them to see if, you know, maybe that I could. So I took it as a huge challenge to be able to do that. I think at one time, Jimmy, I went 60 minutes with Chris Hero and loved every minute of it.
Wow.
You know, hold to hold and stuff like that. So it, you know, I really, you know, and that helped me move along in my career because, you know, versatility is a big thing in wrestling. You know, you catch a booking out somewhere, the style is different and, you know, you want them to bring you back. So you got to be able to work with the guys that are there working. So.
Yeah, of course.
Let me ask this. I want to go back to the show again real quick. So there's obviously, if you're on the daggum cover or whatever, if you're on the thumbnail, you're going to be featured, I would imagine. So there's a dude spitting out water that's got a mohawk. Who's that guy?
That is Crixus. he is the guy. He's a guy from Scotland. Mm-hmm. He come over here. He, I think he was in Al's original, when they first started what do you call it? Where they were giving out a free scholarship to Al's school.
Oh, okay.
He was on the initial thing there, and he's been coming back and forth from Scotland. He's been here for, you know, forever, how long. And he, every now and again, he has to go back to Scotland, but yeah, his name is Crixus. Uh-huh. You know, he's
pretty good.
He's a yeah, he's crazy Scottish guy.
Crazy Scottish guy, but good
yeah,
work.
Yeah, he is too. He's young. Yeah. You know, he's got loads of personality though, and that's going to take him far. You know, the other stuff can come with time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing in our business that really it really is about the charisma, man. It really is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Charisma can take you to the moon. You know? Yeah. But you can have all the moves and be as technically sound as you want to be the best in the world, and if you don't have any charisma, you know, you're liable to drop off and never be heard from again.
Yeah. Yeah.
True. All right. Go ahead, Jimmy. Sorry.
No, it's fine. So I guess in 2019, you end up working, and brother, you've got a resume a mile long before that. But in 2019, you show up at OEW, and honestly, your resume is not what you would consider somebody who would actually end up going to OVW and being an OVW star. It's funny now that you're actually a big part of it. So what led you to choose, or what led you to go to OVW in that year?
That is actually my second stint.
Okay.
Actually, my first stint was in 2009, 2010.
Gotcha.
I went over there with Madman Pondo and Too Tough Tony and did an invasion angle.
That's right.
For Juggalo Championship Wrestling. You know all about Juggalo, don't you, Wolfie?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, you got a kick out of that, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a mess, man. That one of the craziest events I've ever worked on in my life, man.
Fucking A. It absolutely was. Hey, on that note, before I finish, Wolfie, I worked the show. I worked the Juggalo Gathering 2 years ago, and it was a wrestling show that took place at. It started at 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, that's. I don't remember what year it was that I did it, but that was the thing that I did, man. That big open area, people are camping and naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a place.
Craziness upon craziness.
Yeah. And there was like every wrestler on the planet was booked. And the match, I went on at like 5 a.m. I think we did wrestle twice. But yeah, I did a spot. I've told this story before, but this is the only place where this could go down. But me and Kevin Thorne are fighting outside the ring. And there's a chick in the front row with the makeup on, no shirt. The big old boobs, and I grab him by the head, and I look at the people, and I look at her boobs, and I look at the people, and I look at her boobs, and they're like, yeah, and I motorboat him on her boobs.
And Kevin Thorne was loving you. You were over with Kevin after that, wasn't you?
So I motorboat him, and he sells like somebody's thrown powder in his face or something, and he's staggering all around.
That's great. Oh, my God.
But that's the only place that you can get away with that, man. And
absolutely. Also,
a landmark of the show. There was a little place called Drug Bridge. That was the name of it.
Yeah. Well, they still have that to this day. They still have that.
Does it actually have a sign?
Guys searching for it when they go there.
Where's the bridge? Where's the bridge?
Yeah, they have one. Where's the bridge signs at? Where's the bridge? Oh, it's nuts. But anyway, I did an invasion angle back to 2009 and 10. I did the invasion angle for Juggalos right before, I think, Violent J and Shaggy was going to come into OVW and do a little thing. Okay. I did the invasion angle with Pondo and Tony, and I was the last one there. Something happened. Pondo didn't want to do it no more. Something happened. Tony didn't want to do it no more. So I ended up being there for about a year and a half, and then I just went about my way because the business end of it was a little different for my taste. I went back out on the indies, and I ended up actually coming back in 2016 and working for Danny, like, you know, right as Danny was, you know, looking for a buyer or whatever, you know, looking to sell it. And I think Al bought it in, I don't know, 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. And that was where I first met Al when he bought it. You know, my first interaction was Al. Hi, Al. You know, my name is Cat. My name is Mike. You know, I'm Cash Flow. He was like, mm-hmm. Damn, you actually look like a wrestler. Okay. All right.
You do, though.
Well,
you
that was my first interaction. So I was like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah. That's good true, compliment. Though. Yeah.
Because there is.
Yeah, good compliment.
And you know this, man, just from being around different people and stuff. And it's happened to me, like, people look at me like if they won't have a clue who I am. But I've had people like, man, you look like a wrestler. You know what I mean? And that's a good, not everybody has that quality, man. That's a good quality.
It's true. Yeah.
That'll take you, it's like instant credibility. That'll take you a long way. If you looked the part, you know, as long as you don't shit the bed when you're trying to be the part.
So when somebody sees you and they say, you look like a wrestler, Cash, who do they normally, do you know The Rock? Do you know Hulk Hogan? Do they ever ask you that?
No, they, a lot of times they tell, for whatever reason, they tell me I look like Brock Lesnar. They tell me I look like Triple H.
Yeah.
They tell, you know, they don't ask me who I know. They tell me who I look like.
Oh,
like, okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
That's hilarious.
I got one guy in OVW that I need you to take to the chop shop, okay? Can you do this for me? Just do it
absolutely.
You know, casually. I know you like it. Is that ZDP kid, man, we had him set up for a podcast, and he chose to go to Raw instead of being on the podcast. So we'll
– little ZDP, you want me to take – okay, I gladly.
Yeah.
I like ZDP, but, you know, he'll have to take one for the team.
Well, here's what he told me. He said, my work is keeping me over late. He works at the Ford plant because my buddy is the one that got me hooked up with him, who also works at the Ford plant. And he said, right. We never work over. We're union. We leave at the same time. And then I see him on Facebook saying, hey, who's got tickets for Raw? And he goes to Raw instead of being on the podcast. So, you know.
He fades you. Yeah, I'll gladly open up the door for him.
Okay. Just, you know, one, maybe two or three, you know, but
yeah, it'd probably be more than that, but yeah, I'd gladly do that for you.
Well, I was putting him over. I said, you remind me of a young Wolfie D, man. You've got, you know, the way I see your videos and stuff, you and your guy, your manager, y'all remind me of PG-13 a little bit. And he was like, oh, I've heard that before. And I'm like, okay, well, hey, this will be perfect. And then he faved me totally. K-fabed. Well, it's all good. We'll get him on back in about 10 minutes or so.
So before we wrap this up, Cash, think of your best road story. Give me your best, funniest, if it's a rib, if it's just something, you know, to do with some of the people we talked about today or anything like that.
The one that I tell that a few people have heard is I was in Detroit, Michigan. Of course, I was with Pondo. I was doing the very first Juggalo show at St. Andrew's Hall. Uh-huh. You know, of course, this was wild and crazy. Huge. People were in the rafters, and the rafters started to break.
Okay.
And I mean, there were so many, it started to break and started to come down. I mean, it was crazy. And I was young, and I had done this battle royal.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, whatever. We got paid. We got our gear. We was leaving. I was walking out with Too Tough Tony, Madman Pondo, and a couple other guys you're probably familiar with. They enjoy rock and roll music. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, they have that moniker, you know, they're Hall of Famers, those guys.
Yeah.
We were walking out and we were getting ready, you know, we were gonna partake in some, you know, a little bit of cannabis or whatever. We were gonna hey Cash, you ready to do this? And I turned around and I was walking next to Pondo. Pondo got a little bit ahead of me. Somebody said something to me behind me. And as I was walking out the door, all of a sudden I get smashed. I don't know what it is. All of a sudden I'm pinned to the fucking ground. I got my gear bag underneath me. I don't know what the fuck it is. Okay. And then I hear one of the Hall of Famers yelling at Cash, what are you doing? Get out from under that dumpster.
Oh my God.
I'm like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden, this fucking waste management truck raises this fucking dumpster off my head.
Oh,
I brush myself off. Yes. And I see a fucking, the driver look takes one look at me and starts running down the street, leaves his truck running, parked right here with the dumpster up in the air, and he's running down the street.
Oh, my God.
He just left it?
Yeah, he just left it there.
He wasn't going. I thought he was going to run to check on you, man.
he took one. When I stood up out from under the dumpster, he took one look at me and took off running the other way.
He was scared. I get it now. That makes sense.
I just killed this motherfucker.
I would check on him. That's what I would do.
Well, I guess he got scared because he seen me get up, brush myself off.
Makes sense.
I made eye contact with him, and he took off.
He does.
I spent 2.5 hours.
Michael Myers.
What the fuck? I spent 2.5 hours in a car in that parking lot, and that dude never came back and got his truck.
Wow.
I was in the parking lot for 2.5 hours, you know, partaking, doing whatever it was in the parking lot.
Wow.
And that dude never came back and got his truck. Yeah. He left that fucking waste management truck. And, you know, I tell that story now, and I said, man, what could have been? Because I could have been a damn millionaire.
Yeah. No shit. Seriously. Man. I don't know those waste management guys. Isn't that like the Sopranos and stuff? That's some mafia stuff. Yeah, but still, good point.
Detroit at that time, they probably were.
Yeah. It would have been a great way to start an angle with you and Duke the Dumpster.
Yes, dude. Oh, my God.
That would be great.
I did the job to a waste management dumpster, yo.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, sold it, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't have a choice to know sold it. I had a couple of Hall of Famers wanting to blaze out here in the back. what was I going to do?
Right.
I wasn't going to chase the guy. I was ready to do the thing over here.
After the dude takes off running and you get up and everything, what are they saying then?
Well, all of a sudden, hey, Cash, what are you doing over here? Come on, we're trying to smoke. What are you doing over here?
So they didn't even put over the fact that you got bashed in the head with a fucking dumpster?
The only one that did was Pondo, and he was laughing his ass off. Pondo was going to die. I thought Pondo was going to die. He's just like, oh, my God, what happened? I was like, what the hell?
Tell everybody, time to plug your stuff, whatever you want to plug, social addresses, whatever.
Hey, look, man, anybody that wants to follow me, you can follow me. All my social medias are at Cashflow Wrestler. I got my own YouTube channel that has a bunch of old matches and new stuff and movie stuff. You know, of course, my IMDb's out there. I dabble in a little bit of acting. And anybody out there... that has an Android phone. It's only on Android right now, but I have my own video game on Android. It's called Cash Flow's Chop Shop.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I ain't got no fucking Android, man.
Okay, to explain that.
Will be out on Apple and iOS soon. It's just taking a little longer to get it out on Apple.
So what's the concept of the game? What's the concept?
It's pretty retro. It's you're trading chops.
Okay. I like it.
It has characters. I'm the final boss. You start out, you're the player. Your name is Charlie Choplin. and you're trying to take everybody's money. And you got to get to cash flow, and you got to beat cash flow. You got to trade chops with cash flow.
So you're the Mike Tyson of the Mike Tyson's Punch Out, is what we're saying.
And it's funny you say that, because once you see the game, you'll be like, wow, I get it.
It looks like that.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, oh, my God, bro. Seriously, we should have been talking about that.
Exactly. I wish we would have known that earlier.
That's super cool, dude. Yeah.
Check it out. It's on Play Store, even if you don't have, you know, or if you do have an Android or whatever. Like I said, it'll be out on Apple soon. I'm working on getting that taken care of.
Is it a free download or is it a paid game?
It's a free download. Of course, it does have in-app purchases. You can buy extra money in case somebody whoops your ass too much.
Right, right. That's smart. Yeah, I love that, bro. That's awesome, dude. You're now a Netflix star. You've got your own video game. Yeah. You've been wrestling for, what, 30 years almost now? So, dude, you're...
27 years. Try not to age me too much, Jimmy.
Yeah, sorry. Ooh, we don't want to round up too much there. But anyway, bro... You've had one hell of a career, man. That's awesome, bro.
Well, I and honestly, Jimmy, you know, it's funny you say that, dude. I hope the best is yet to come. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I still have, until my body gives out, dude, I still got it. And, you know, I hope the best is yet to come.
Yeah, man. Awesome. I think so.
I'm happy for you, bro. Happy for you.
Thank you, Wolfie. I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on for us here. A little bit of last minute, but like we said, we wanted to, because we love everybody up there, we wanted to give an opportunity for somebody to come on and plug the show and talk about themselves. And like we said earlier, we got the guy we wanted, and you didn't disappoint, brother. We appreciate it, man.
much love, Wolfie. Much love, man. And y'all don't forget to check it out September 13th, this Wednesday. It's called Wrestlers. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
We're excited. Looking forward to it. So, yeah. Jimmy, when we come back, are we coming back with Ask Wolfie D Anything?
Yeah, you know how it is, man. Ask Wolfie Anything. Cash, it's always crazy over here, man.
So. Thanks again, Cash. Great.
And no problem, man. Thanks for having me on there, bro.
Yeah, all right, brother. You have a good rest of your day, and we appreciate you.
Thanks, Cash.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you all soon.
Okay, yeah, buddy. Man. Good Bye. To talk to you again. All right.
See you. Absolutely, Jimmy. Absolutely. Right.
DJ, hit the music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything. And Wolfie D, man, Cash Flow. I knew it was going to be a good episode, man. But honestly, that was really cool, man. We got to learn about reality TV, man. That's fun.
Were we educated?
I think so. I mean, the thing is, can you just imagine? I mean, you know, because I feel like a lot of those shows that, especially the ones that my wife watched, like on Bravo and stuff, are super scripted, man. They just seem like they're so like, or maybe, you know, the people act a little more because they know they're on camera. You know, maybe it's not scripted per se, but maybe it's kind of like a co-opted agreement there. But man, this Netflix documentary, I'm excited about it because I'm a big fan of that Last Chance U show, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be cool because this is Wrestlers. This is kind of like Last Chance Wrestlers, you know, and or First Chance or whatever.
I don't know that I've told this, but as far as reality TV, me, Hammerjack, and this other dude actually were hired to do. You remember that show about the My Big Fat Something Wedding? But it was a. Oh, it was like the Middle Eastern folks, and they would party, and the cops would get called all the time.
Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah.
But, yeah, so we were extras, but we were security, but we couldn't let the stars of the show know that we were security. We had to act like we were just there at this bar chilling and hanging out together drinking. So, because if they found out, they would have flipped out that the producers hired security, but they had to hire security because they were known for getting out of control in their episodes, right? So, yeah. We did that. So we were actually on that show.
Dude, okay. Well, that was the exact first question. Dennis Stone on Twitter asks, Wolfie D, were you ever a part of anything like a reality show, or did you have you ever done anything or had the opportunity to be in anything like that? That's crazy that you just said that.
That is crazy. And it's funny because we've told before, you don't tell me what the questions are ever.
Right.
But yeah, that one, and then I did Joe Kenta, what was it, Homicide Hunter. There's an episode called Love Bites, I think is the name of the episode.
Okay.
I don't know what season it was, but I played a bouncer at a bar.
And yeah.
Actually had some speaking lines in it. That was pretty cool. And then there was another show, and I'm actually, I think, because I don't know that I ever saw this one, but I filmed it, but I was a doorman at like a underground card gambling ring, and I was the door guy. I didn't have no speaking in that one, but I think that was on something called Snapped Killer Couples, possibly. It was one of those types of shows, if it was.
Yeah. They film a lot of those in Knoxville, right?
Absolutely.
Like, yep. Yeah. What is it with that, man? It's crazy. Like so many people where I'm from in Virginia, it's like 2 hours away from Knoxville.
Yeah.
And some people that wanted to try to get in acting, they would go to Knoxville to work on these like true crime reenactment shows.
They just happen to do a lot of those in Knoxville, man.
That's crazy.
How much you've heard them talk about how much it costs to do films in like California now and stuff. So a lot of the production companies have moved to like Georgia and Tennessee and
Louisiana. And yeah. Got it. Yeah. Dude, that's a trip. And you've also been, of course, in your buddy Jonathan News video. I used to like me before we were Facebook friends.
Lamb Chop.
Dude, that is such a great song, man, and such a great video, really.
Gone Tomorrow.
Yeah. Dude, it's so trippy that that's called that. And, you know, obviously we've lost Joe. Every time I hear that song, I get sad, man. Sometimes it'll pop up, like if I'm cutting the grass, it'll pop up on the shuffle on my phone. And I'm like, oh, I can't listen to this, man. Because I just think about, dude, it was so cool. And, you know, Lamb Chop, that's what's funny is indie rock, like, a lot of the alternative, like indie rock guys, love wrestling. Like Bob Mould from Husker Du actually wrote a little bit for WCW. Lamb Chop, there's a band called the Mountain Goats. Obviously, me, I played some indie rock. But we all love wrestling. It's crazy. I don't know. You know, you'd almost think like, because I hate to say it, but like some of the alternative or like indie rock guys are a little bit what you would call snooty kind of hipster, but they love wrestling, man. I mean, Josephus actually turned the stadium into a place where hipsters came. Like, you know, they would go to watch wrestling and then they would go to the bars, you know, and over in East Nashville. And dude, I just think it's, but anyway, long story short, you getting into, Have you ever tried to push that further as far as getting more acting gigs?
I wanted to always do stunt work, man. But that was something where you'd have to, at the time when I wanted to pursue it,
California.
You had to go to California,
Yeah.
You'd have to go to a school, you know, unless you're the Rock or Stone Cold, you know.
Right.
You can do your own stunts and everything.
Right. And even they get stunt guys, you know what I mean? So it's funny that, you know, I mean, I could have seen you doing some stunts for Stone Cold. Why not, man? But, you know, the funny thing is, too, is like, I could actually see you have the personality. You could do something that could actually, you know, I could see you doing some character work and stuff for sure, you know, just depends on.
And also, I was going to be on season 2 of Heels. Me a spot, and then last minute the budget cut. I don't know if that's just a movie term to we just cut your scene,
right?
I don't know, but yeah, that's what it was about. They cut the scene that I was gonna be,
like the script gets trimmed down, and they're like, okay, for time, we've got to cut this scene out because we can tell the story in a different. You know how it is in wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Things will happen, and then you get there, and they're scrapped because they don't have time, or somebody went too long in a match, and you got to cut yours down and stuff. But yeah. Anyway, well, that's cool, man. It's so crazy. Like I said, I saved some questions to time it with shows and stuff. But anyway, that was funny that you started to go into that before I even asked the question. So we promise I don't even send him the questions. But anyway, all right. The second question we've got today, and this guy is one of our YouTube listeners, Bargain Hunter 2404, which, by the way, we are starting to do this thing now that I'm releasing. You know, we don't put all of our episodes on YouTube. So what I'm doing now is every Saturday, at least for the rest of this year, we are going to be releasing shows from the archives. Some will be brand new. Some will be the very early stages. And I just am picking some of the better shows, and we're going to put them on YouTube. Every Saturday morning, you can go on YouTube and listen to a new show. So if you haven't...
Subscribe!
Yeah, if you haven't heard them all and you prefer to listen on YouTube, go to YouTube, subscribe, follow, which it's funny. I don't know how you're hearing this and you're never heard the shows. But anyway, tell somebody if they only listen to shows on YouTube, they can go to YouTube now and hear our older shows. And sometimes I'll even drop a newer episode too, just depending on how it lands in the downloads before that. Okay. So go check our YouTube out at Live Wolfie D. We're putting new stuff on there all the time. So anyway, this one actually came from their Bargain Hunter 2404 from YouTube. And this one is kind of half a question, but also kind of, you know, part of a story too. So you may may not know this, but you wrestled at a cockfighting arena in Manchester, Kentucky.
I do.
You do know that?
Yeah.
This was for SCW. The arena was the Phil Young Riverside Club. It was up on a big hill, and before you go up the hill, you cross a river. You wrestled a guy named Jamie Too Cool Stone.
Yeah.
Bill Dundee came in, and Billy Travis wrestled him also on other shows. Do you remember this place? It's actually on YouTube. Before the wrestling started showing, it was a cockfighting arena for years. After the wrestling stopped showing there, it was opened back up several times as a chicken fighting arena and was one of the biggest cockfighting pits. He loves saying cockfighting. I'm just in the country until about 3 years ago. It is closed for good now. The owner of it was busted on a federal case aiding
what?
Along with several other pit owners in nearby counties. The match is Wolfie D versus Jamie Too Cool Stone. Look it up. Anyway, you get what I mean, but
yeah,
cockfighting.
I told that story before.
Cockfighting.
The places that we would end up at, man.
Yeah,
the places that would run, and I remember. Yeah, there was a cockfighting arena, and when they say cross a river, that part I remember crossing over a creek, but it was like on a gravel road, and then it was like. I almost feel like it was just a piece of wood thrown across fucking water. You know, I don't remember like an actual bridge, but I mean, obviously we drove a car over it.
Not a drug bridge either.
Not a drug bridge. No.
Yeah.
Little bitty wooden type thing. But yeah. So it was up a hill, big red barn looking thing. And it was a cockfighting arena. I remember that.
Dude, have you ever seen cockfighting? You've been in Mexico. I don't know if you ever got to see it.
No, never seen it live, unfortunately.
Bro. Okay. I was 10 years old.
You too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 10 years old. My brother was 8 years old. And I'm guessing maybe I was 11. He was 9, whatever. You get the point. Very young. Okay. And my cousin, who was into some criminal activities back in the day, he actually had a rooster that he would fight local guys. And this is in the back hills of Southwest Virginia. Southwest Virginia, not Southwest Virginia. You get what I'm saying. The southwestern part of Virginia. Anyway, back hills, Appalachia, hillbilly stuff, man. And we were growing up, and I remember my other cousin who we would stay with, he was a big wrestling fan too. He was like, hey, you know, our cousin, he's got a rooster. He's going to fight tonight with this guy. And we were like, what? And we go, and they're in this little like barn type area, obviously. And there's probably like 30, 40 people there. I remember money, liquor, and we were like 10 and 9, 8 years old. Yeah. And dude, it was crazy because I mean, it was moonshine probably is what it was. But anyway, there was these two roosters and they went at it, man. And it was just feathers flying, blood everywhere. Dude, it was a trip.
Dang.
And we were considered like city kids compared to where we were. You know, we went to the hills for the summer, but we would come back to the city or town or whatever. And dude, it was a trip for us, man. We were like, what the heck did we just watch?
That's some crazy stuff. I don't know about live, but I've seen clips of it on YouTube. But that's amazing that they're saying that it shut down just 3 years ago.
Right, I know. Has it been PETA has just not been paying attention or something? You know,
I'm telling you, it's not easy to find.
So. Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, and that leads us to this third question, which actually is perfect since we're coming out of that question. Is Jeff Jefferson from Instagram asked this question? He says, "What is the craziest place you've ever wrestled in?"
Okay, so yeah, as far as that's a pretty crazy one, you know, a cockfighting arena. I don't know that anybody's done one of those before. But then also what we talked about earlier, man, the Juggalo thing was crazy, man. I mean, you got these acres of people just hammered out of their minds and walk around naked with clown faces and
it's
a pretty trippy thing, man. You go into the ring that time of night and I swear to God, every wrestler on the planet was booked. And that was the same night that Tia Tequila got the fans started throwing rocks and shit at her or some shit.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
So that might have to be it, man. I mean, I can't think of a, you know, I've heard some guys that wrestled in Memphis, you know, they would wrestle at the prisons and stuff. I've never done that.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And don't think I'd want to, not because I'm scared. I'd just be afraid they'd keep me.
Yeah.
That's like a nightmare. Nightmares.
No, you're not going anywhere, buddy. We know who you are.
We just looked you up.
Yeah. Or they just mistake you for an inmate. That would be horrible.
People are in prison for shit they didn't do, bro. A lot of them.
Yeah.
That's a fucking... Can you imagine going to prison for something you didn't fucking do? Like, straight up, you didn't fucking do it?
Wow. I mean, and how you could be, like, calm and try to deal with it? Because the more you would escalate it, the worse it would be,
you know? Oh, yeah.
That just seems like a weird, horrible punishment that it's just like, are you telling me something, God? Seriously. And it's true. It happens every day. And you guarantee, I don't know what the percentage is, but I guarantee there's a good small, I mean, maybe not a large percentage, but a good percentage of people in there for no reason. You know?
I have a feeling there's people on this planet that being put in a Juggalo event like that would be the same sort of nightmare, you know? Take some good Christian folk that ain't been out of fucking Somerset or something like that.
Right.
And plant them in the middle of that shit.
They would think they're in hell. Yeah. Yeah. What is this? I mean, from what I understand, and I watch a little of those documentaries that people, you know, they make footage from when they go to those. They seem like decent enough people to where they're, you know, but you know, what is it they say? There's like a percentage, like one in so many people are psychopaths. You know what I mean? Like, so you got to say, well, there's probably what, several thousand people here, 10,000, whatever, you know, but I don't know
what the numbers were, but it was a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of people and they are having fun and, you know, whoop, whoop and all that. But yeah, dude. Anyway, well, that's all the questions I got for today on Ask Wolfie D Anything. So
good questions. Hopefully I gave you some good answers, but
yeah,
appreciate, OVW, Al Snow, Cash Flow. Look at me go.
Yeah.
Just
Trash, Flash, and Slash. You're back to your rapping days.
I can't help it. It's in my blood. No, but we appreciate you guys listening as usual. And if everything goes as planned next week, we're probably going to keep rhyming. So we'll see. Tune in next week, guys. Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school, but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes, and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudicca and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
This is the big picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The fuck's wrong with this sport? He's gonna tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it. Mike Jablonski. Mike Jablonski. Mike Jablonski. He pissed off.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still livin' in color. Rum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are, without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip-hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks than over on board later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. Gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh. I got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
We got a cap for your dome. We got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.